Amen. Let's go ahead and take our Bibles tonight to the book of Luke, chapter number 8. Luke, chapter number 8. We're going to be looking at one of those great questions of the Bible tonight. It's a very short question that Jesus asked. And many times when you are looking at some of these questions that Jesus asked or that God asked, you're trying to figure out exactly why it's there. And tonight's one of those questions, why in the world would he have asked that? And I think there's some important truths that we can learn from it. Luke, chapter number 8 is a action-packed chapter of the Bible. It talks about how Jesus stills the water, how he also heals the maniac of Gadara, and then the woman who touches the hem of his garment, and then you also have Jairus' daughter that's healed from raised from the dead. A lot of great things in this passage, and we're going to read a number of verses. But the one question I want to look at that we consider as a great question as the Bible is found in Luke chapter number 8. It's found in verse number 45. It says, "And Jesus said, Who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou who touched me? And Jesus said, Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." Let's have a word of prayer and ask God's help tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray with these three simple words, who touched me, you speak to our hearts and our lives about the importance of getting to you, the importance of understanding how desperate we are without you, and Lord, that we need to reach out by faith. And Lord, there was many people that day, but there was one that had special attention drawn to them because of the faith it took to reach out and to touch you. In Jesus' name, amen. So, as I look at this, and I don't know why God keeps on leading us to the point of getting, hey, closer and closer to God, reaching out to God, because many times in the day and time that we live in, the circumstances that we have, we don't really know what to do. Everybody has an opinion, and good people have different opinions, and one person believes this, one person believes this, and a lot of things have been just thrown under the understanding of what's going to happen next. And that's what I think the Lord is drawing our hearts to, saying, hey, we need to do what we can to make sure that we're as close to God as we can. And when he asked this question, and I think most of you know a little bit about the story, but I'll give you a little background before we read it. This lady has had an issue of blood for 12 years. And with this issue of blood for 12 years, she was probably an outcast if she was following the Jewish law. And as she was there, she was desperate. She had, if you read the verses of this and the corresponding accounts in the gospel, she had no money left. The doctors could not help her. And she had one great need, and she realized there was only one person that could help her. And it says that the people thronged him. Now, having this issue of blood would have been something that would have caused her to have been very weak, very anemic, very not very strong or powerful. But even though there is a large crowd that's around Jesus, somehow this woman is able to push through the crowd and be able to reach out and just touch the hem of his garment. And Jesus asks this question. He says, "Who touched me?" Why would he ask that? What's the point of that? Okay, the lady's healed. Okay, she's healed now. She can go back home. Obviously, she's not doing it for show because she kind of falls back in the wayside. You know, and you use your sanctified imagination. You're thinking as she's pressing through, and maybe that she falls down because it touches the hem of his garment, thinking maybe the bottom of the garment, and that she maybe fell to the ground when she did it. And you know, the crowd keeps on going, but Jesus stops and turns around. But she's not right there. No one else noticed what happened. Everybody denied. Peter doesn't understand. Of course, Peter, being the outspoken one, says, "Lord, hey, do you know what you're asking? There's lots of people here. That word thronged means that you're butted up against one another. You're shoulder to shoulder. It's sort of like being stuck in those Black Friday sales and everybody's waiting to get in the door. I know most of you guys are too spiritually mature for that. But, you know, some of us that like great deals, you're out there and they're waiting to just pound through the door. And, of course, I've never sat there and ran into something or anything like that. But you've seen those pictures where people have knocked down the doors just to get in there. They're right there side by side. And I don't really like that. I like my space. I'm not a small guy. And I don't like people, you know, being up against me. And that's what it is. They're shoulder to shoulder. They're bumping, and it just, people are touching one another, not in a immoral way. It's just, hey, they're walking, and there's a huge crowd there. And Peter's like, "Hey, Jesus." And he even says that here in verse number 45. He says, when all denied, Peter and they that were with him, I'm sure is referring to disciples, Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, sayest thou who touched me? He says, don't you realize people are touching you all over the place? They're thronging you, they're pressing you. And Peter isn't saying, hey, explain it to me. I don't know about you, but I would like to think that if I was there, I would have thought, okay, Jesus just said somebody touched him. I need to learn about that. And he kind of does say, who touched thee? But he's asking in an inquisitive way, and he's saying, hey, Lord, everybody's bumping into every other. Maybe it's just one of these other people. He's beginning to question God and beginning to question why he would say that. But who touched me? And maybe you can use your imagination and think, well, why would Jesus say that? He brought the attention for this woman up front. Now, he could have just let her be healed and everything. The woman wasn't looking for accolades. The woman wasn't looking for a public display. The woman got the healing that she needs. And she even says that, even as he says, somebody has touched me, for I perceive that virtue has gone out of me. And when we think of virtue, we're thinking of purity. But the Bible word they're talking about here, virtue, is talking about power. The power of God is, you know, is not that it's left him, but there's something that powerful that happened at that moment. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling. So she's not saying, hey, it's me. You know, she's trembling. She maybe feels like she had done something wrong. And Jesus is questioning her, and he says, and falling down before him. So in a very reverent, respect way, trembling. And I love what it is. She declared unto him before all the people what cause she had touched him. So she explains the story. This is part of the reason why I'm thinking he's asking this. I think he's asking it for the people that are there, but I think he's also asking it so it can be recorded in the Bible so we can understand this truth, who touched me. And then he says, and how she was healed immediately. Now, Jesus didn't need another healing there for people to know. He's getting ready to walk and raise a girl from the dead. I mean, he didn't need the publicity. He didn't need to have another number chalked up. He was saying something to them. He was teaching them something. Verse 48, and he said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith had made thee whole. Go in peace. I like that phrase, go in peace, at the end, because you see she's trembling in verse 47. And you can imagine all the emotions that's going through her right now. For 12 years, she's been dealing with this issue of blood. For these 12 years, she has gone to doctors and spent all her money. In these 12 years, she might have been an outcast in a synagogue if they were following the Jewish law. In these 12 years, she probably was someone who was put out and wasn't someone who had a lot of physical contact or interaction with other people. And Jesus says to her, hey, look, you can go in peace. He went from trembling to going in peace, and she was made whole. That doesn't, when Jesus said a person was made whole, not just talking about the physical needs were met, but also the spiritual needs have been met. So what is the point of who touched me? And I think this is a touch of faith. This is a touch believing. There was plenty of people wandering around, bumping into Jesus, touching Jesus. But there was one that the Bible says she touched him. Now, I know we hear people talk and you hear people preach, you know, that person's got the touch of God on them, or God touched me, or, and I'm not talking about some type of charismatic or this or not, you know, that churches have God's touch talking about God's power on them, or that person has God's touch talking about God's power, you know, all those different things. But this is something that they're saying, that this woman touched him. And he said, who touched me? And it's this idea that she understood how desperate she was. That by faith, it wasn't a touch, a physical touch. It wasn't a touch of the flesh. It was a touch of faith. And sometimes I think what happens in church when we do things and we do under the disguise or under the guise of, hey, I'm worshiping God and I'm doing this, it's so often done in the flesh. Those people that are there and are surrounding Jesus as they're walking, and they're all there, they're bumping each other, they're talking about fleshly things. They're doing things in the flesh. They're touching him. But this woman was different. It was a touch of faith. I want to tell you tonight that I believe what the scriptures are saying here is that if there's a person who is interested in getting to Jesus and does not let obstacles or distractions stop them, if they will reach out and touch him by faith, or reach out to him in faith, believing he is going to respond, believing he is going to answer, believing that if we draw nigh unto him, he's going to draw nigh unto him, to them, that God is going to respond. Remember, those that seek him early are going to find him. we cannot go through these motions over and over and so often and so much and not let it affect our heart, not let it affect our soul, not let it affect us inwardly. And that's what this woman, she came to a point where she knew how desperate she was. She knew she had no other hope, that she went and she somehow made it through this mob of people and this multitude of people and touched him. And she, and Jesus is the one that stopped and made notice to it. And he is teaching all the people that are there. He is teaching them about this divine appointment. He could have just kept on walking. The woman would have went home. Everything would be fine. But he's teaching Peter. He's teaching those that were with him. And he's teaching the crowd there. There's time to help this woman also. Now, as you're going to see in the story, Jairus had come. And Jairus' daughter was dying. And Jesus was headed toward Jairus' daughter. And he stopped and he deals with this woman. Now, Jairus is known for being a leader in the synagogue, and his daughter would have been somebody that everybody would have been worried about and concerned about, and everybody thought Jesus should go and Jesus should help this person because of the established position he has. For 12 years, he's had this daughter, and Jesus is saying, who touched me, that no matter who you are, no matter where you come from, no matter what problem you have, if you will reach out to him, if you will do your part and seek after him and search after him, and you know, like I said, it's not a touch of the flesh. It's a touch of faith that you reach out and say, I need you, Lord. And not just say, I need you, because we know we're in a desperate spot. I need you, and I know you can help me. I know that you can give me what I need to make it through today and what I need to make it through tomorrow. And he's on this way, and there's a divine appointment that happens with this woman. Who touched me? I wonder how many of us really, in our day and time, spend time truly going after God, seeking after him, searching for him. And like I said, we can do a lot of things emotions. We can do a lot of things humanly and doing it over and over in repetition. But it's when we have the purpose that this woman has and says, you know what? No one can help me but Jesus. That's the only person I can count on. He is the only person I can, and I have to get to him. I'm not going to let the distractions of this world tell me. I'm not going to let people tell me I shouldn't go because of the issue of blood. I'm not going to let my circumstances, the fact I'm tired and the fact that I'm weak, stop me. I'm not going to let the fact I have nothing to offer him stop me. I'm not going to put any other distractions. I'm going to get to God. I'm going to get to Jesus. Now, here's the thing. Is that true in our lives? I mean, how many of us spent time alone this morning with God in a proper format to where he could speak to our hearts? And I'm not just talking about running through our Bible and running through our prayer time and running through certain things. How many actually knew they needed God this morning and spent time with him and reached out to him? How many of us did that? And I can tell you, I made a long list before of excuses. You can be tired and not feel good. Got a lot of things going on that day. Emergencies come up. Problems here, problems there. What the illustration of this woman was, she was not going to let anybody stop her from getting to the Lord. And I want us to see that and understand that. So let's go ahead and read the story. I know we spent a little bit of time in the introduction, but let's read the story. We're going to read through it quickly, and we're going to see three different things here. First, the type of help Jesus can provide. Secondly, the people who missed out on what Jesus had to offer. And thirdly, the people who received help. And we're going to just kind of tell the story as it goes along here. Luke chapter number 8, verse number 35. Because I know that many of you are familiar with the scriptures. You're going to remember that this is the maniac Gadara. He has just had the demons cast out of him. And now the townspeople are coming back. It says, then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. So you see here in verse number 35, Jesus had just taken care of their biggest social problem they had in that community. This man was a maniac. This man had caused terror amongst the city. Jesus had just healed them of their biggest problem. They did not understand. They were upset because they lost their pigs. They cared more about their pigs than they did about people. And because they cared more about their pigs, which was an evil thing for them to do, and where they were from, they shouldn't have been keeping pigs because it was against the law. And they cared more about their business than they did about people. And that's some of the things that we have issues with, what's going on right now in the society we live in. There's people that care more about their agendas than they do about people. I still, and maybe you can explain to me why the death of one man can cause rioting, okay, that kills many people, does not make any sense to me. When there are people that are just trying to protect, and the police officers that are died, and people that are trying to protect their own property, how it justifies the fact there's just one person who died. And once again, that one person was important, and that one person should, the person who killed or had the crime there should be held accountable. But it does not mean people should be able to loot, and does not mean people should be able to riot at the point where it's harming other people and damaging other people. And it's because they care about an agenda. There are some people behind all this that are very wicked, that hate America and that hate God and hate the things of Christianity, that are causing a lot of these things to happen. And because of all this, they care about their agenda more than their people. People think that, oh, they're important to people. They're not. A socialistic, communistic type thing, it's not about the people. It's about getting an agenda across. And they're willing to sacrifice whoever has that is necessary. And that's what the problem with these people is. They cared more about their pigs than they cared about a human being. They cared more about their hogs than their humans, if you want to use two H's there. And it says in verse number 36, they also which saw it told them by what means he that was possessed of devils was healed. So they told the story. In verse 37, look, this is amazing to me. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them. So there were three main points. Number one is the type of help that Jesus can provide. Number two, the people who missed out what Jesus had to offer. And number three, the people who received the help. So here underneath the people who missed out what Jesus had to offer, it's right here in the land of the Gadarenes. It's right there. It says that the people were, they wanted him to go away. Now, can you imagine in this land, would you not think there was other people who were sick? Would you not think that there was other people who had diseases and demons? Would you not think that Jesus coming and walking through this area for a while could not only make a little bit of difference? He could have made a great difference everywhere he went. But because they care more about their agendas and they care more about their prophets, they said, we don't want anything to do with you. We don't want Christ. Or we don't want Christianity. We don't want this. We don't want that. It's amazing here. That's what they're doing today, isn't it? We don't want anything to do with your God. We don't want anything to do with Christianity. I saw something recently, and they said, if Jesus comes back again, we should kill him again. And I thought, that ain't going to happen the next time he comes back, right? When he comes back again, he's coming, and he's coming, he's coming as king. He's going to reign, and he's going to rule for this 1,000 years. But that's their thought. They want to throw Christianity, they want to throw it into the trash can, because they think that that's the cause of their problems today. But Christianity is the one that says that we're supposed to love one another. Christian, if they would live by biblical principles, the things that they're fighting and arguing for could be answered when it comes to racial equality, all those different things. You know, we are one race. So you get from this, when a person does not care about people, they're not going to be interested in getting to Jesus. When they only care about themselves, you know what's going to happen? They're going to say, hey, we don't need you. You don't work in my agenda. And we do the same thing sometimes. So we're at, well, when we want what we want, Jesus, I don't want you this time. I know you tell me I'm supposed to forgive. I know you tell me I'm supposed to be kind. I know you tell me that I'm supposed to pray and read my Bible. But right now, can you just kind of leave the room? I want to go do what I want to do. I want to have my own pity party. I want to have my own attitude. I want to have my own selfish ways right now. Can you just kind of leave? Because I don't want you right now. Now, as a believer, we know that he's never going to leave us. He's never going to forsake us. It does break the fellowship that's there. But that's what these people are doing. They're there, and they're saying, we want nothing to do with you, but he's the one that has the help to offer. Let's keep on going. And well, let's talk for a second about the type of help Jesus can provide. The reason why I love this chapter is because in this chapter, he talks about how he's in control of the weather. In this chapter, he's able to cast out demons, a legion of demons, from a man who had caused havoc and wreaked havoc amongst the community. He was able to help a whole entire community. Then he was able to help an outcast woman that had been dealing with an issue of blood for 12 years. And then he's able to help this synagogue leader's daughter and raise her from the dead. I don't know about you, but there is nothing that my God cannot do. There is help there that is offered. He is, as we learned a few weeks ago on Sunday morning, he's asking that question, will thou be made whole? Are you willing to allow God to help you? He has the help that you need. Stop with the thoughts of, hey, this problem. No, get to him, reach out to him, and let him teach you and guide you to things that only he can. There's only help. There's only so much help an individual can give you. There's only so much help that a person can give you, whether it be a pastor, a husband, or a wife, a mother, a father, a child. There's only so much help. It has to be a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and it has to be you seeking after him, you reaching out to him, and you touching him by faith and saying, God, I need you. I'm desperate without you. But these people, the Gadarenes, or however you say the word, they says, hey, we don't want you. Why? It's because they were more interested in their hogs than they were a human. Let's keep on going. It says, then the whole multitude in verse 37 of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear. They were afraid. And he went up into the ship and returned back again. Now look, it says, now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, return to thy own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. So we see the man who had been healed from the demons goes to Jesus and said, look, I really want to be with you. And Jesus says something to him. He says, return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. You know what? This is underneath, and once again, it's a little bit of a different sermon because you're seeing different points underneath the main points. The first point is the type of help that Jesus can get. The second help, the people who missed the help that Jesus had, the people of the Gadara was one of those. The people who got the help was this man here. He got the help he needed, but then you see that he obeyed God too. He had a desire to do what was right, but Jesus is teaching him something here. Same thing he teaches all of us. This is recorded in the scriptures, not just so, oh, that's a cool story. Jesus is all powerful. No, it teaches us something. He's saying, hey, look, you have an open opportunity. You go back to your house. You show people what you used to be like and the great change that I made in your life. Now, they're telling me to go away. They're telling me I need to go away, and that is foolish. I know I shouldn't be going away, but you have an open door. You have an open opportunity. Now go back home, and I love where it says here, return to thy own house and show how great things. And he doesn't just say, hey, go home and tell everybody what happened. He says, no, I want you to go home, and I want you to tell everybody the great things that God has done unto thee. And he doesn't just go home, and he doesn't get sad to tell his wife. He goes home, and he says to him, he published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done to him. Now, can you imagine what testimony this man had? I mean, can you imagine what his body looked like? His body was probably scarred from all the different things he used to do to himself. It was chained. He used to be able to pull those chains out of the rocks. What an amazing story. Imagine, it used to be a guy that didn't have any clothes on, and he used to run around and howling at the moon. And can you imagine that guy knocking on your door and saying, fully dressed, and saying, hey, let me tell you what Jesus did for me. Woo! I mean, that would be, you shut the door, lock the door, go get the gun. But then inside the community, can you imagine the change that's been there because of the fact that he's living a changed life? The people that get the help that Jesus can offer is the people who are willing to be obedient and allow God to work in their hearts. So, Pastor, has God done something great for me? If you have to ask that question, there's a problem. Because if you're a Christian and a believer on your way to heaven, he's done something really great for you. He's done something amazing for you. He's taking you off the road from hell and put you on the road to heaven. He is taking you from darkness into light. He's giving you the Holy Spirit. He has done so much for you. We should publish that. And it says here, and it says, publish throughout the whole city the great things that Jesus had done unto him. The people that got the help was the person that was willing to be obedient. Let's keep on going. There's so much more here. It says in verse number 40, and it came to pass when Jesus returned, the people gladly received him. Isn't that amazing? You got one city saying, we don't want you. Another city saying, hey, you're welcome here. So underneath the people who received help, it was the people of this city. Why is that? Because they gladly received him. We're going to have to be open to the Lord working in our hearts and working in our lives. Really, in a submissive way, we should fall on our knees and say, God, I want whatever you want for me. My heart and my door is open to you. It's not like you're standing at the door and knocking and wanting to come into a church. I want you to sup with me. I am welcoming. Once again, I know he is, as a believer, you have the Spirit of God living within you. Christ, I understand that. I'm talking about being receptive to what he's trying to teach you. So many times we get a hard-heartedness and a hard-headedness to the point where we close off what he's trying to show us and teach us. And here he's saying, this community said, you're welcome. It gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. And then you keep on going, and it says, behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. So here you have this ruler of synagogue that comes unto him, and he with humbleness, falls at his feet and asks God for help. Same thing. If without pride and humbleness, you can ask God for help and God will respond. He's another person who received help. They gladly received him. He also was a person that besought him and told him to come to the house. And then we continue on our story. For he had one daughter about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. And a woman having an issue of blood, 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood staunched. And then so we looked at these verses already, and Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed at, and sayest thou, who touched me? And Jesus said, somebody have touched me, for I perceive that the virtue has gone out of me. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith had made thee whole, and go in peace. So we see another person who was helped by Jesus. How did she get it? She did it because she moved by faith. She did not let distraction stop her. She didn't let issues stop her. She says, I need to get to him. That's the person that's going to get help. That's the person that's going to get the knowledge they need when they seek for his hid treasure. That's the person that's going to find the answer to the issues. It's when they are willing to go all out and reach out to him. Let's keep on going. Now, can you imagine how the picture is being seen here? Jairus is there. He's got a daughter. He's 12 years old. And Jesus stops and deals with this woman. If I'm Jairus, what are you going to be? We're going to be sitting here. We're going to be looking at our watch. We're going to be saying, hey, my daughter's dying at home. What are you doing? Okay, you healed her, Jesus. What now who cares who touched you? Let's keep on going. And then you see what's going on here. And he says, while he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, thy daughter is dead, trouble not the master. Can you imagine what would have happened to Jairus' heart there? So people who do not get help are people who do not understand the Lord. The amazing thing here is God is able, Jesus, God is able to help the man of the Gadara, this woman here, and he's still able to help this girl over here. He can help your problem, and then he can help your problem too. He's not limited. He doesn't have to say, okay, I got enough time to fix this one problem. I remember seeing the poster of before somebody has this big stack of things and said, hey, I want to get my order done today. And the lady behind the poster says, not going to happen today, and tomorrow's not looking good either. And the reason why is because they were so busy. Jesus isn't that way. He can help this woman over here. He can help the man of Gadara, and he can still help this little girl. And that's what Jesus says to him. He says, but when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. And here's the scriptures. The people who get help are people who have faith. She said, you got to believe. Now, those guys in verse number 49, they wouldn't have got the help. Why is that? Because they didn't understand what Jesus could do. The people who limits God and limits what God's able to do are not going to get the help they need. the people that came out, and that servant that was there, I'm sure his heart was broken because the maiden of the house has passed away, and he's just saying, "Hey, look, don't bother the master anymore. Just come home and let's come home and let's weep and mourn together alone. You know, we don't know this guy." And in a lot of people's mind, that would have been reasonable. But that help doesn't help you. When you got somebody on the sideline that's saying, "Hey, don't live by faith," when you got somebody on the sideline saying, "God can't care," or "God doesn't care," or "God can't do that," that's not the person you need to listen to. You need to listen to what the verse says when he says, "Believe only, fear not, and believe only, and she shall be made whole." We need people in our lives that say, "You know what? God can do this. God can do a work. God can answer our prayers." It says, "And when he went into the house, he suffered no man to go in save Peter, James, and John, and the father and the mother of the maiden." And it says in verse 52, "And all wept and bewailed her." Now, many times these weepers and bewailing people are professionals that are hired, and they go and they put on a good, really big show. Jesus looks at them and says, "Weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth." And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. So another people that are not going to get help is the people who mock Jesus. You know, the help that Jesus can provide, Jesus can meet all their needs. The people who miss out on the help are the people who push Jesus away, the people who do not understand Jesus, and the people who mock Jesus. And there's a lot of people out there that are mocking Jesus, a lot of people who need help. We're in desperation. We have a lot of things that need to happen here. But there are people out there who get mocked. They're not going to get the help they need. And then it keeps on going. It says, "And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out and took her by the hand and called, saying, 'Maid, arise.' And her spirit came again. And she arose straightway and commanded to give her meat. And her parents were astonished." And her parents got help. Why is that? Because it was moving by faith. They didn't just tell them to stay away after the report they heard in verse 49. They didn't listen to the people that were scorning him in verse number 53. They were able to continue on believing. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. Now, let's go back to the thing. Why would he ask that lady, as he is headed to to help this little girl, why would he stop and say, "Who touched me?" He's trying to teach him something. This is a woman who got her prayer answered. This is a woman who got her need met. And he's demonstrating to that whole crowd that was there, he has time and the ability to not only help her, but also help other people in their needs. That we should deal with divine appointments the way that God deals with them. We shouldn't just brush them aside. We shouldn't just say, "You're not worthy of my time. I'm too important." Instead, we should, by faith, pull apart all the obstacles and say, "You know what? I have time to get to the Lord. I need to make it a priority in my life that God has put first, and I need to spend time with him each and every day." It's so easy to say, so easy to preach, but the question is, how many of us really do that? How many of us really push through the obstacles of this world and say, "I need you, Lord," with our hand out? "God, please help me." And that's what this woman, and Jesus stops and asks this great question. The Bible is probably the shortest question you'll hear us ask: "Who touched me?" And she is a woman that touched by faith. Now, I think it's nice. Father's Day is coming up on Sunday. You see here a father got the help that he needed. Father probably would have been willing to give his life for his daughter, but he didn't need to do that. Instead, he was willing to get Jesus to his daughter. And that's what we need to do with our kids, is get them to the Lord. They need to see that our faith is real. They need to see that I'm not going to let the guy in verse 49 discourage me. I'm not going to let the people in verse 53 discourage me. I'm not going to be like the people of the Gadaras that are pushing them away. Those people are saying, "Here's my kids. I got my family here. But Jesus, we don't want you." They're pushing them away. They're not going to get the help they need. People who get the help they need are the people who are willing to set aside the obstacles and still reach out to Jesus. The people who are willing to continue on by faith despite what others might say and despite what others might scorn. The people who are willing to believe that God's done a great work is like the man in the maniac of Gadara, and he was willing to listen to the Lord. Now, he didn't get bummed and say, "But Jesus, I wanted to go with you." Jesus says, "I got another job for you." But Jesus, this is what I want. I want to be with you. He's like, no. I got something I want you to do. And that's what we got to understand in our lives. If we want to get the help we need, it can't be about what we want. It's got to be what he wants. This man went from being a maniac to a missionary. And it says that he published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. He had an amazing testimony. And I tell you, we have an amazing testimony also. If we're blood-bought, born-again believers, you know what? We have something to tell other people. So what type of help can Jesus give? He can provide anything you need. Anything you need. Not anything you want, but he can provide anything you need. The people that don't get the help, the people that scorn, the people who don't understand what Jesus can do, and the people who push him away. The people who do get the help are the people who are willing to be obedient, like the maniac Gadara, willing to push through and not let things distract you if your relationship with the Lord, like the woman who touched the hem of his garment, and the person that continued to live by faith, like the father, the ruler of the synagogue. Let's pray.